My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Good morning and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, August 18. How are we doing this morning? Hope you're enjoying your weekend, playing lots of golf, draining birdies. 79 for Brian behind the glass. Good job, Brian. I got to get out and practice to keep up with you. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Ivy Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive ice-fill cooling technology, along with UPF 50 plus sun protection. Visit IBKUL.com to learn more. And before we get into the programming this morning, the golf programming, I just wanted to say I'm just devastated to hear about WCBS. I mean, such an iconic station. And my heart and thoughts go out to all the very respected and incredible talent there. You know, it is a family, this radio biz. And it's just such sad news. But I wish all who have given their heart and soul to the station, and I know you all have for many, many years, I wish you all my very best. And my thoughts are with you all. Okay, wow, it has been a busy week. Yesterday, I played in the Artists and Writers softball game in East Hampton, a tradition like none other. 76 years this softball game has been going on. It's just incredible. And I play for the Writers team. And Ken Oletta, he's our manager. You remember Ken, political columnist for the news, the Daily News, and media critic for the New Yorker. He's the manager of the Writers team, Mike Lupica. He actually retired from playing in the game a few years ago. I don't know why, but he's still in good shape. But he is our third base coach, best-selling author Eric Sherman. He plays now every year. And none other than the great John Franco. He pitched for us. How thrilling was that to have John join the Writers team? And we got off to a very fast, very good start. I think we were up 7-2 in the first inning. But then the Artists just poured it on in the later innings, and the game actually went to extra innings, and in the 12th inning, the Artists ended up winning 11-10. Not happy about that. but it's a lot of fun. It's great to see so many of you who come out to say hey. And Joel Hollander, who used to run this radio station in the early days, he was there. It was so great to see Joel and his family. It was great. Katie Couric came out. They put her in the game. It's just always a lot of fun every year. And lots of people who listen to this show and to this radio station, they came out to say hello. And I truly appreciate that. So thank you. Coming up this Wednesday, if you happen to be on the east end of Long Island, I will be giving a talk August 21st, this Wednesday, from 1 to 2:30 at Rogers Memorial Library. I'll be talking about Life on the Green, Lessons in Wisdom from Legends of Golf. You know, it is a book for golfers and non-golfers alike, because the book is really about life and life wisdom. 12 golfers sharing what they've learned from golf that they use in their day-to-day lives. You know, all of them. Jack Nicklaus, Ben Crenshaw, Tom Watson, Padraig Harrington, Bernard Langer, Gary Player, Nancy Lopez, Annika, Jan Stevenson, Amy Alcott, Dottie Pepper, Renee Powell. They're all great storytellers. So lots to talk about. And I'll tell some WFAN stories as well. And so hope to see you on Wednesday, August 21st. From 1 to 2:30 at Rogers Memorial Library in Southampton. If you're interested in going, just give them a call to reserve a seat. All right, well, lots going on in golf as usual. And at the FedEx St. Jude Championship in Memphis, Hideki Matsuyama shooting scores of 65, 64, 64, 17 under, has a 5-shot lead over rookie Nick Dunlop heading into today's final round. Hideki hoping to win his 10th PGA Tour title. And one of my favorite memories in golf, you remember when he won the 2021 Masters and his caddy, Shota Hayafugi, took his hat off, faced the course on the 18th green and bowed to Augusta National, showing his respect for the golf course. Very, very memorable moment indeed. And I don't know if you read about what happened to Hideki, his caddy and swing coach. After he won the bronze medal at the Olympics in Paris, they were all flying through London. They stopped over in London, and they were having dinner in town, apparently, when Matsuyama said his caddy noticed that their bags were no longer there. I guess they had their, I don't know where they were, but their golf bags and whatever else they had weren't there. Somebody stole their stuff. And the contents included Hideki's wallet and the passports of his caddy and swing coach. Now, Hideki had his, I guess he had left his passport and his bronze medal in the hotel room. But needless to say, Hideki's caddy and swing coach, they could not make it over to the States because their passports were stolen with the bags. And they had to work on getting their visas back, so it was a very chaotic situation, but obviously it has not disrupted Hideki's game this week at the FedEx St. Jude's Championship. He's playing lights out, and he will start the final round with a 5-shot lead over Nick Dunlop and a 6-shot lead over Victor Hovland and 7 shots ahead of Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns. And, of course, Hideki's using another caddy this week on the bag, so we'll see if he can hold on to that lead. Nick Dunlop is one of 4 PGA Tour rookies to qualify for these FedEx Cup playoffs. He's 20 years old, 7 months, 20 days, and he is the youngest player in the field. He's already won the Amex and the Barracuda Championship. But if he were to overtake Hideki and win today, Nick Dunlop would become the first rookie to win a FedEx Cup playoff event since Xander Schauffele in 2017. So let's see what Nick can do today. And Victor Hovland, he's found his game. He's the reigning FedEx Cup champion, and with the scores he has posted this week, 70, 63, and 66, those are actually his lowest scores in 54 holes since last year's Tour Championship. So it's good to see Victor back in the saddle this week after struggling most of the season. So only 50 players from the 70 who started competing this week will advance to next week's BMW Championship, which is in Castle Pines, Colorado, and All those 50 players, by the way, they will qualify for all 8 signature events next year. And you know those signature events all have $20 million in prize money. They will also be awarded 2,000 FedEx Cup points, and the players will try to make the top 30 to qualify for the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta, where the FedEx Cup champion will be crowned. So now there are players projected to move into the top 50, and Nick Dunlop is one of them. With his incredible play, he has moved from 67 to 12 in those FedEx Cup rankings. Victor Hovland has moved from 50 to 20. Justin Rose is in the 50 now. He went from 55 to 46. Harris English from 51 to 49. And Nick Taylor from 52 to 50. And then the players projected to move out of the top 50 include Keegan Bradley, Cam Davis, Max Grazerman, Mackenzie Hughes, and Jake Knapp. And Keegan Bradley was ranked at 39, but has dropped down to 51. So he is right on the edge there. And he's currently tied for 62 at the St. Jude Tourney. So, you know, he's our Ryder Cup captain for next year at Bethpage. Not sure if he's already distracted with Ryder Cup responsibilities or what, but, you know, he has said he even wants to play in the Ryder Cup next year as a captain. He would only do that if he qualified on points. So, but talk about low scores. I mean, you had Denny McCarthy shooting a 7 under 63 on Friday. You have Hideki with those two 64s. Sam Burns and Scottie Scheffler both with 63s on Friday. Just the scores have just been incredibly low. So, anyway, we are going to visit with longtime golf journalist Alex Maselli after the 8:40 break, and we'll get his take on these crazy low scores and all the other top news in golf. Well, the Women's Scottish Open, that's taking place at Dundonald Links, which is an outstanding property in Scotland. I was there a couple years ago, and it's just a beautiful place. Great links course. And Lauren Coghlan with a bogey-free 666 yesterday. She jumped atop the leaderboard at 12 under, one shot ahead of Megan Kang entering the final round. But so far today, Megan Kang, she was plus one through four holes last time I looked. She grabbed a share of the lead at 10 under with Lauren Coghlan. And Lauren had a rough start, two over through four. It must be blowing over there. Esther Henselight of Germany, she won the silver medal last week. She's even through four holes and one back at 9 under. Lydia Ko is 1 under through 4, one of the few under par. And at 8 under, she is 2 shots back. So see if the gold medalist can shoot, go low today, and maybe win the Scottish Open. And it's a great opportunity, you know, the Scottish Open at Dundonald, for these women to brush up on their links play and to get ready for the AIG Women's Open Championship, which is going to be at St. Andrews this coming week. St. Andrews in Scotland. What an iconic venue. And in a few minutes, we'll chat with the championship director of the Women's Open Championship, Zoe Ridgway. So stay tuned for that. But last Sunday, you remember me talking about the U.S. Women's Amateur, Rianne Malexi, 17, and 15-year-old Asterisk Talley. How do you like that name? Asterisk. Battling it out in the 36-hole championship at Southern Hills in Oklahoma. It's just a grueling week-long competition, these U.S. amateurs. They go on and on and on. It really has to be one of the most grueling tournaments in all of golf. And Malexi, I think that's how you pronounce it, Malexi of the Philippines, she prevailed 3-2. And she became the fourth female to win two USGA titles in the same year. She also won the U.S. Girls Junior. Well, the U.S. Men's Amateur is going on this week at Hazeltine in Minnesota. And today's championship round will feature Noah Kent. He's 19 years old from Naples, Florida. He's a sophomore at University of Iowa. He will face Jose Luis Ballester, who's 20 years old from Spain. Ballester, he's a senior at Arizona State. So Noah Kent is trying to become the first Hawkeye to to win the U.S. Amateur Championship, and Ballester is trying to become the first Spaniard to win. Always intense competition. Kent eliminated the 2024 U.S. Open qualifier, Jackson Buchanan, 2-up in the semis to move into this championship round, and Ballester ousted fellow Spaniard Luis Massivu, 3-2. So, you know, winning a semifinal at the U.S. Amateur means a lot. You earn exemptions into both the 2025 U.S. Open, which will be at Oakmont next year, and the 2025 Masters. But they have to maintain their amateur standings. So it's huge for these two finalists. Just incredible, life-changing moves here. All right, the LIV Golf guys, they're playing at the Old White at Greenbrier in West Virginia. And John Rahm, he shot an 8-under 62 yesterday. At 14-under, Rahm leads Brooks Koepka, Taylor Gooch, Richard Bland, and Lucas Herbert by 2 shots. And in their team competition, it's the Australian team, Lucas Herbert, Cameron Smith, Mark Leishman, and Matt Jones. They're 36-under. They lead by 1. And it was Bryson DeChambeau. Remember last year he shot that 58 with a bogey and no eagles en route to winning the title. And right now he's 7-under. He's 7 shots back heading into the final round today. $4 million will go to the individual winner and $5 million for the team event. And the PGA Tour announced its 2025 schedule. And it's not really much different from this year. The biggest change is that the Memorial Tournament will return to its traditional date 2 weeks before the U.S. Open. And then you have the RBC Canadian Open is moving to the week after the Memorial. And PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan was there at the St. Jude Championship earlier in the week. And he kind of informally met with the media. He really had not much to say. The last time he did a formal press conference, I think it was at the Players' Championship this past March. And with the release of the PGA Tour schedule next year, there's no sign of any agreement with LIV. He really did not acknowledge much about the negotiations, but from what I read, he spent more time talking about the deal that the PGA Tour has made with SSG, the Strategic Sports Group, you know, which poured $1.5 billion into PGA Tour Enterprises, which is the for-profit arm of the PGA Tour. So it does not look like there will be unification anytime soon. And, you know, there have been reports that John Rahm, who bolted for LIV Golf last year, he just did that complete turnaround, you know, after somebody asked him about it, he said that his lifestyle would not change if he got $400 million. And then he pulled that 180 and joined LIV Golf. Well, you know, I've always said he's looked miserable ever since. And I always liked John Rahm. This is nothing personal. I'm just an observer when I see him at these press conferences, at the majors. And he's just looked unhappy and very frustrated all year. And, of course, you only see him at the majors, unless you really watch LIV Golf. But at the 2024 Majors, he tied for 45th at the Masters. He missed the cut at the PGA Championship. He withdrew from the U.S. Open with that infection on his toe. And then at the Open Championship, he tied for 7th. And then, of course, at the Olympics, I thought he was going to run away with the gold. But then he ended up shooting 5 over in the final 8 holes. He carded a 1-under 70. He ended up tying for 5th, and he was the only player in the men's tournament to get to 20-under, and he had a 4-shot lead, and what a turnaround. And I know he expressed how disappointed he was, for sure. So this, you know, the sides remain apart. LIV players, they're banned from taking part in PGA Tour events, and they do not get official world golf ranking points. So again, we'll talk to Alex Maselli later in the show, and we'll get his take on all this. All right. But first, coming up, the championship director of the 5th and final major on the women's calendar, Zoe Ridgway. She is in St. Andrews, and she will preview the AIG Women's Open Championship at St. Andrews for us coming up this Thursday. But first, let me tell you that IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. IB Cool offers multifunctional, intelligent moisture sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive ice field technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. IB Cool apparel also features UPF 50 plus sun protection. It's colorful, it's stylish, it's soft, with the latest technology to protect your skin. Look and feel your best. Learn more at IBKOL.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori and the AIG Women's Open Championship. The final major on the women's calendar takes place this coming week at the Old Course at St. Andrews in Scotland. What a special venue for the Women's Open Championship. And joining me now to preview it is Zoe Ridgway, Championship Director of the AIG Women's Open at the Rowan Ancient. Hey, Zoe, welcome to Talking Golf.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
St. Andrews, what a historic venue for golf, right? And for this championship.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is the third time that we'll be staging the AIG Women's Open in St. Andrews on the Old Course. We came here the first time in 2007. That was the year that Lorena Ochoa won. And that was the first time that a women's professional championship had been staged on the Old Course. So a really special moment that year, particularly because the Old Course is so iconic. It's so well known. I think it really shone a light on women's golf that first year. The last time we came here was in 2013, which was the year Stacey Lewis won. I think she birdied the last two holes to win by two shots. So exciting finish. So I'm sure the Old Course will provide a lot of drama, a lot of excitement. It's a very strategic course. We're really looking forward to see how the players perform next week.
Yes, and who could forget when Stacey Lewis in the 2013 Women's Open Championship hit one of the greatest approach shots ever on that road hole, right? I think it was a 200-yard shot. She crushed a 5-iron that landed about 10 feet from the hole, Zoe, and just what a great win for the American. And I know you mentioned she birdied that 17th and went on to birdie the 18th to win it. So certainly great memories of this championship the last time it was played at St. Andrews.
Phenomenal golf on such a difficult hole as well. The road hole is not easy. So to hit a shot like that, she very much deserved to walk away with the trophy.
Well, I understand the Women's Open did not exist until, 1976? And I read where it almost folded in the 80s. So when did the Royal and Ancient take over? And can you talk a little bit about what it's like now that the R&A is really running the show?
Yeah, so the R&A merged with the Ladies Golf Union in 2017. So that was the first point at which the R&A became involved after that merger took place. So since then, you're right, we've now taken on full responsibility of the championship. We stage and operate the championship, which is great. And I think that's really important for the R&A because this is very much the showpiece of the R&A's commitment to women and girls golf. We've worked with AIG, our title sponsor, in really trying to elevate the championship. And you'll have seen that across different areas. So the prize money's increased. I think it's something like 180% since 2018. So that's quite a big jump. We've really focused on venue selection and trying to visit the very best venues in the UK to give the players that experience of competing on the best golf courses. We've done a lot of work on the player experience itself as well, making sure the players are well looked after. They've got everything they need in player facilities, recovery facilities, so that they've got everything they need to perform their best during the championship week. And we've also turned our focus to the fan experience as well, and making sure that we're attracting fans to come and celebrate how great the players are, and they're playing in front of big crowds as well, which is brilliant.
You talked about the prestigious courses that the women play, and boy, in 2018, Georgia Hall won at Royal, Lytham, and St. Anne's. Then in 2019 at Woburn, a treeline course, not a seaside course, Hanako Shibuno won there. And then I remember watching the German woman ranked 304 in the world back in 2020, Sofia Popov, winning it at Royal Troon. I mean, unbelievable. Carnoustie in 2021. In Ji Chong of Korea at Mirfield in 2022. You know, just great golf courses, which I think is, you know, just helps make this AIG Open Championship so very, very special, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think it's a different challenge for the players. Links golf, it is quite a different style of golf and probably something that the players might not get to play that regularly. So we know St Andrews, the wind can blow, the various weather conditions can come in. So I think it'll provide quite a different challenge for them this week.
Yeah. What's the forecast look like? I don't know if you've kind of focused on that. The tournament, the championship starts Thursday. I know over there, and I play a lot of golf in Scotland and Ireland, and you certainly can have five seasons in a day, right? So it's hard to predict. But looking ahead, what does the forecast look like and what's the wind look like?
No, absolutely. I mean, at the moment, it looks quite mixed. But I think being so close to the coast as well, it can change very quickly. So we are keeping a close eye on the weather forecast. But I think difficult to know at this stage how accurate it's likely to be because the weather fronts can change so quickly. So I think we can expect some wind. Hopefully not too much rain. We'd like to see some sunshine as well. So fingers crossed for some good conditions. But I think, you know, a bit of wind, it gives it a true links feel. So I'm sure it'll provide a good challenge for the players.
It has to, you know, add to the atmosphere, right? You need a little bit of wind and maybe some weather to make it a real Open Championship. But I know you mentioned the RNA's commitment to women. Zoe, can you talk about the RNA's Women in Golf Leadership Program, which I read as part of the Women in Golf Charter?
That's right. I was actually lucky enough to benefit from taking part in the RNA's Women in Golf Leadership Development Program in 2019. And it's a phenomenal program. It's intended to help develop potential future leaders. So very lucky to be involved in that. And I think they're onto something like the 13th or 14th cohort of students coming through. They've built a foundation program as well to complement the main program. So it's being rolled out internationally to various different countries. And there's a lot of women coming through the golf industry really benefiting from having the opportunity to take part.
That's wonderful. And I read where you got your start in the golf business by working at the International Management Group.
That's right. Yeah, I've been in the golf industry over 21 years now, so showing my age. But yeah, I started off working for International Sports Management, which was a small event management and mostly player management company. So I had the benefit of working on the event side, but also doing some player management as well. So I think I've been able to have a good insight into quite a varied different sides of the golf industry, which is brilliant and loved every minute of it.
Well, showing my age, I remember interviewing Mark McCormick back in the day here in New York, and he's the one that started International Management Group. And really, you know, with a handshake with Arnold Palmer, they credit starting the whole sports marketing movement, which is so historic. So IMG, very familiar with that organization. They do so much in golf, and good for you that you've come through the ranks there. And now with the RNA's Women in Golf Leadership Program, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so I joined the RNA just over 6 years ago now, came into this role in 2020. So my first year in this role was Royal Troon, which we played the championship behind closed doors that year due to COVID. So yeah, it's been a roller coaster since I've come into the role, but very lucky to be doing what I do, and yeah, really enjoy the challenges that it brings.
Have you had a chance to play St Andrews a few times?
I have. Very fortunate to have done that. I've had some good rounds and some bad rounds, so we'll try and remember the good ones and forget the bad ones. But it's such a great course, and depending on the conditions, on the day that you play it, it can play quite different as well. So I think it's a course that you don't automatically stand on a hole and pull out the same club. It depends what the wind's doing. I think it really makes you think about the next shot that you're going to play, and that can be different every time you play the hole.
That's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, golf courses in all the world. Truly a historic gem for these women. And 24 Americans, Zoe, are in the field, including Nelly Korda, Lilia Vu, the defending champion, Rose Zhang, Ellie Ewing, Megan Kang. I mean, just to name a few. And I'm interested always in getting the overseas perspective on Nelly Korda's run earlier this season, you know, winning 6 of 7 tournaments, just phenomenal. What were people over the pond thinking when they were seeing how well she was playing?
I mean, it's just been incredible. What she's achieved in golf this year is just phenomenal. And to be honest, it's been great to see. I mean, it's just the run that she was on earlier in the year, it just felt like she was never going to stop. She was just going to win everything. I'm sure there's huge support for Nelly Korda over here. I know everybody's really excited to see her play the Old Course.
What will the spectator experience be like at St. Andrews this year?
So there's been a lot of focus on the spectator experience, because we know that the players provide great excitement, a great experience for the fans that come out and watch. And we really wanted to try and offer that same level of experience off the course as well. So we've built a new style festival village focused to attracting potentially non-golf fans, younger audiences, plenty of kids to come along and get involved as well. We've a concert on the Saturday night. So for us, I think it's just focusing on providing that all-around entertainment that the full family can enjoy, and hopefully attract some people to golf that perhaps wouldn't have considered coming, but we'll see what a great game it is and hopefully take up the sport themselves.
And what a great venue to watch a championship, right? I mean, St. Andrews, it's just, you can be at any given kind of area on the course and see so much. It's kind of all laid out in front of you, right?
Yeah, I mean, the first hole, 18th hole, are probably the iconic ones that everybody will know well. But then when you get out towards 7, there's a great viewing spot there on the 7th and 11th greens where you can see a lot of golf. I'm sure the fans will love seeing the players play the Old Course.
What are you most looking forward to this week?
I think for me, it's just such a special venue. And I think the Old Course is somewhere where probably every player will want to win a championship. So I think to win a major in St. Andrews on the Old Course, whoever stood on the 18th green on Sunday night lifting a trophy will feel like they've achieved something extra special because we're in St. Andrews and it's the Irish Women's Open. So I think I'm looking forward to just seeing the quality of golf that we know the players can play and just this being a real celebration of women's golf.
And what a great commitment from the sponsor, one of the main sponsors, AIG, American International Group, Global Insurance Organization. It's so important to get these huge companies so committed to women's golf, don't you think?
Absolutely. And we couldn't ask for a better partner in AIG. They've done so much to support what we're trying to achieve around the championship. And we've worked very closely together on enhancing and growing the championship. So very lucky to have them involved and have their support.
And the AIG Women's Open, one of 5 major championships in women's golf. The women have 5, the men have 4. What are your thoughts about having 5 major championships for the women to showcase their games?
I think it's fantastic. We're obviously the last of the 5 majors. We always attract a really strong field of players to come and take part. It's always a very international field. We have something like 25 different nationalities of players taking part in the AIG Women's Open. So I think it's just a great opportunity to celebrate just how good the players are and see them compete on a global scale on some incredible courses.
That is Zoe Ridgway, Championship Director of the AIG Women's Open, which is going to be at St. Andrews, and it's this coming week. Well, at the Women's Scottish Open at Dundonald in Scotland going on right now, Lauren Coughlin took over the sole lead. She's even through nine holes, and at 12 under, she's now two shots ahead of fellow American Megan Kang. So we'll watch that final round of the Scottish of the Women's Scottish Open. All right, coming up, senior writer for Morning Read, Alex Maselli. He will join us. Alex has been covering golf for decades, and always love getting insight from Alex on a lot of issues in golf, particularly on LIV Golf, PGA Tour, and what he thinks will happen in the future between these two golf entities, and much more. So we'll talk with Alex in a few minutes. But first, let me tell you that iBeCool Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. iBeCool offers multifunctional, intelligent, moisture sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive Ice Fill technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. iBeCool apparel also features UPF 50 plus sun protection. It's colorful, it's stylish, soft fabrics with the latest technology to protect your skin. Look and feel your best. Learn more at ibkul.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on the Fan.
Hey, 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 and welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori. So glad you can join us. And Alex Maselli has been covering golf for decades. He's a writer, a businessman, currently senior writer for the Morning Read. He joins us now. Hey, welcome to Talking Golf, Alex.
Thanks, Ann. I'm not sure I want that kind of introduction for decades. It makes me sound old.
Well, same with me. I think we've been doing this about the same period of time. So we started when we were, teenagers. But anyway, how you doing?
Good, good. No complaints. Getting ready to go to the Women's Open at St. Andrews.
Awesome. I just had Zoe Ridgway on, the championship director, and so have safe travels over there. It should be great at St. Andrews. My goodness, love that place. But I wanted to get into a couple big issues with you in this sport, and none other to me is just more fascinating than these PGA Tour LIV Golf negotiations, or lack of. I mean, I know PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan talked a little bit to the media earlier this week at the FedEx St. Jude Championship, but obviously didn't have much to say. They don't want to go public with too many details, but how do you think the talks are going, and do you think there will ever be some kind of deal?
Well, I think if I was going to read between the lines, I'd first look at what Rory McIlroy said before Jay had talked to the media. And he said he hadn't been on a call with the transaction committee since back in early June. So if that's the case, what are they doing? I mean, June, July, August, you know, now we're halfway through August. So that means basically 2.5 months of no meetings between the transaction committee. So that seems a little odd, I thought, at first. And then Jay, you know, he never really wants to talk about this, but he kind of talks around it. Again, not seeing much in what he said there. I believe, because I was at a LIV event in right after the Open Championship at the JCB for a couple days. And there's two things that's clear to me. One is that they're not waiting for the PGA Tour and the PIF to come to some kind of agreement or understanding. The second part is that I don't think anything has gone very far since then. I think, in fact, my understanding is, and of course, this is, you know, these are all just so out there, but my understanding is that Yasser is pretty much like, you know, if we can't get a deal done, we just can't get a deal done. That's fine. Let's just move on. And almost setting some kind of parameters and saying, if we don't do something by this date or that date, which may or may not be true, but it would certainly make a lot of sense. And then I don't think if there's a deal to be done, it's not a deal to be done between LIV and the PGA Tour. It's a deal to be done between PIF and the PGA Tour. And LIV is going to just continue to be LIV. And I think the deal that would be done if it is a deal between the PGA Tour and PIF is just about money.
Right. But you wonder if they take that much money, the PGA Tour takes that much money from PIF, how much control are they giving up? And therein lies the issue to me. I mean, obviously, the PGA Tour doesn't want to give up any control. But if an entity like PIF is going to, you know, give up, what, $3 billion is what has been talked about. Don't you think they're going to,
yeah.
A, what kind of control will they have? And B, what will be the return on that investment?
Well, first of all, if you're looking at talking about return on investment, you got to look at SSG and you got to say what's going on there, and that's a hard one. I mean, they've put in $1.5 billion, supposedly committed to another $1.5 billion if necessary, but that's the first question. John Henry and the rest of them, Cohen and all of them, are like, okay, so we're what's our potential return now? Some people have said this has pretty much been a situation where they just felt like they wanted to be involved in golf and this is what their investment is. And $1.5 billion, even though to you and me might be a lot, to them it's not as much. And so they're not as concerned about seeing the return on investment as much as being involved in golf. That is not the case with the PIF and with Yasser. His interest is in a return on investment as well as being involved in golf at the highest levels. So, if you put in 1.5 from SSG and you put 1.5 in from PIF, that means 25% of the value of the PGA Tour has now just been purchased by two different entities. So for 25%, in any environment, if you were on the Wall Street or wherever you were, any environment, if someone owned 25%, they'd want a say in what's going on. So that would mean you're right. Where does that, how does that shake out? As well as where do you see the return on investment? And that's a hard one. I don't know where $25 billion, or rather $3 billion, gets returned quickly on the PGA Tour side. I don't know what they can do, what they would have to buy into, what, you know, whatever it would be for them to go ahead and generate enough interest to go back to paying these guys off at some point or getting some return on their investment. So that's a concern. And I don't know. I don't really have an answer to for you on that. And no one, and I mean no one, no matter who you ask, can give you a straight answer on where's the ROI on this.
Right. And then going back to Strategic Sports Group, SSG, and that $1.5 billion investment, does anybody know if any of that money was used to fund the loyalty money, which paid the players or will pay the players who chose to remain loyal to the PGA Tour and did not bolt to live?
Well, I think that money obviously is not spent, because all it is grants, and they're not even available to these guys for a period of time. And in some cases, if you want it to go out, you know, for the whole 8 years for to get 100% vesting, that's an 8-year process. So supposedly the theory is that within 8 years, this is not going to be an issue. But at some point, it is an issue. Some point, there's the rubber meets the road, and you have to figure out how you're going to pay these guys if they actually are execute these options now. But again, it's an 8-year situation. So, but yes, that money is, I mean, theoretically is spoken for, yet it's spoken for 8 years from now, not today.
Right. And then my question is, does Tiger, who seems to be leading these talks, right? Maybe not, but it just seems like he's the guy. Does Tiger and the other players on the policy board, do they even want these players who bolted to live to kind of come back and play PGA Tour events? It's kind of like, do they want these guys to have their cake and eat it too? They bolted to live for the huge money, and now do they really want them to come back? I personally don't think they do.
No, but I think it's not only that. I don't think it's only the fact that that Tiger or Patrick Cantlay or Jordan Spieth, whoever it is, doesn't want these guys back. The real question is, with few exceptions, they don't want to come back. I mean, there's been Jaime Diaz's story, which I haven't read, but I know what it's basically the supposition is the fact that John Rahm is not very happy about what he did, and he wishes he hadn't done it. Okay, well, that's John Rahm. But the rest of the guys, you know, that are there, I mean, I don't think you're going to see the guy who's the most important out of live right now, which is Bryson. Bryson doesn't want to come back. Bryson would like to play an event here or there, but he doesn't want to be a PGA Tour member. He doesn't want to be playing on the PGA Tour schedule. He's already indicated that if he had not made this switch he's not sure he'd be as good as he is now because of the requirements of playing so much and week after week and so forth and so on. So the bottom line is a lot of guys like being at LIV. They like doing what they're doing. So they don't want to come back either. So I think this whole idea that, you know, we got to find a pathway back. For some guys, yeah, they want to come back and they want a pathway. But most of them do not. And again, that's why I say these negotiations are not a LIV PGA Tour negotiation, because that would be a much harder negotiation because you have that emotion. It's really more a PIF PGA Tour. And as you mentioned earlier, is what are you getting for your $1.5 billion if you're Yasser and you're putting money into the PGA Tour? And I think that's really the conversation that's going on. How much do we get involved? Do I have a board seat? What are we doing with our $1.5 billion? You know, who's involved? So forth and so on. There's a lot of that going on back and forth, but I don't think that it's an easy answer, and that's why we're where we are today.
Sure. And John Rahm, those reports that he's unhappy at LIV. I mean, honestly, when you see him at press conferences at the majors, you know, he hasn't played well at the majors, and obviously the disappointment from what happened with his play at the Olympics. He just looks so miserable. Do you think those reports are true, that he regrets? I kind of have a feeling that his people said, oh, there's going to be a deal. So go to get the money on LIV, and you'll be able to get back into the fold of PGA Tour. I mean, this is just my surmising, of course. But he probably was thinking there might be a deal soon, maybe getting wrong information. And you know, for a guy who originally said his lifestyle would not change if he got $400 million, and then he pulls a 180 and joins LIV Golf, he really looks unhappy.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. He does look unhappy. He made a mistake. I think that's clear as well. That he thought one thing and it turned out to be another. And you know, I've heard many different things about that. But the bottom line is that he made a mistake taking $300+ million. So, I mean, I guess we all wish we could make that kind of mistake.
Exactly. Tough life, right? But somebody has to live it. Let's shift gears a little bit. You wrote an article about the fact that carding a score of 59 used to be a big deal. You know, since Al Geiberger scored that 59 in the second round of the Memphis Classic back in 77, the score of 60 has been broken 13 times. And just this year, he had Cameron Young at the Travelers Championship, and then Hayden Springer at the John Deere Classic. You know, they broke 60. And then, of course, Jim Furyk's the only player to shoot a 58. That was at the 2016 Travelers. But you look at these low scores this week, last week. Even you have Jimmy Ellis shooting a 61 at the U.S. Amateur earlier this week. These players are shooting so low. Is that a good thing for golf, do you think, Alex? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's just like you like to see people drive the ball 300 yards. Now, 300 yards is nothing compared to where it was 10 years ago, right? I think you want to see length and you want to see scoring. And I think that's what the PGA Tour brings. That's why they don't want to restrict the ball. That's why they don't want to change the equipment rules, because they like the scoring, because that's what fans want to see. So that's what fans want to see. That's what fans want to see. I think what's interesting is the fact, and actually, I was at dinner last night with my wife. We were talking about this. She goes, just in the Olympics in general, she's saying, you know, how is it these people can keep going? How does it keep going lower and lower and lower? I mean, not just scores, but times and things like that. And it's like, this is just where we are. I mean, these guys, the guys you see today standing there hitting golf balls are so much different than the guys you saw 15 years ago. And, you know, that's just the nature of it. And they're going to get better and better and better. And equipment doesn't matter. The fact that they changed the grooves, didn't change the grooves, did this, did that, none of that matters. These guys are still going to sit there and shoot numbers. And if it's soft conditions, it's even going to be worse. I mean, these guys can really go out and shoot, and they all know that. You know, it doesn't matter if it's 7,500 yards. If it's soft, that's all they look for. I mean, when you're hitting 8 irons and 7 irons, well, 8 iron from 175, 180 yards and 7 iron from 200 yards, soft conditions are all you want. And so that's what we're going to get.
And I mean, Bryson DeChambeau, he thinks there could be a 57, even a 56, he said earlier this week. Can you imagine? 56.
Yeah. And actually, I can't imagine, because sometimes you look at some of these 59s or 60s and you see where they were like through 12 holes or 13 holes, where they were like, you know, 8 under, 9 under, 10 under. And you're like, well, if they have a good day, rest of the round, I mean, they're definitely going to shoot 58 or 57.
Alex, always a pleasure. I love your insight. I see Morning Read is back. Didn't you start that?
Yes. Yeah. I know. Don't tell anybody.
You are a businessman extraordinaire. Thanks again for coming on Talking Golf. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Annie.
Have a great rest of the day. My thanks to Alex Maselli, Zoe Ridgway, Brian Rascona in the studio, and Ivy Cole, lecturer at Leisure Wear, brings you this hour. Thank you so much. Learn more at ibkwow.com. Mark Malusis is up next. Enjoy these last few weeks of summer, and I look forward to talking with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Anne Liguori.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.